Dr. John Warwick Montgomery says, "A secular world desperately needs thinking, rational Christians." This month, read more from Dr. Montgomery and other experts on science and theology by subscribing to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's The Lutheran Witness. Visit cph.org/trylutheranwitness for a special offer of $6.99 for 6 issues. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective. cph.org/trylutheranwitness.
Every time you see the argument for gender neutrality or completely sex-blind treatment of men and women, you wind up seeing women get the short end of the stick.
The Supreme Court created themselves the National Abortion Control Board because they control abortion law, they control abortion doctrine, they control abortion policies.
Why have we neglected hundreds and hundreds of years of heritage in our churches? Why do we sing garbage? Instead, we have paint-by-numbers pictures of Jesus playing wiffle ball with the kids.
If the church is going to survive where it will survive, because it will survive, it will do so on the forgiveness of sins.
This is Stan in Carson City, Nevada, and I just love listening to Issues Etc. while I'm vacuuming floodwaters out of the game room in my home.
Just goes to show you, don't assume from the headline that you know what the story is. I've been watching news about this Judge Ruth Neely in Wyoming for at least a month now. I have a little connection to that. Ruth Neely is a member of Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregation. I'm a pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. So it caught my attention, I assume, from the headlines that Judge Neely had been asked to perform a same-sex marriage, had refused to do so, and then had been censured by an ethics committee of the Wyoming Supreme Court. Turns out part of that story is not true, or at least my assumption was not true. It's not at all what it sounds like in many ways. In fact, it's even worse. Welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to talk about the censuring of a Wyoming judge for her personal beliefs about marriage. Holly Shearer of The Federalist will be our guest. Then Dr. Ken Sherb joins us for part 57 of our series on Martin Luther and the Reformation. We're doing just one verse, Jesus warning against false prophets, that very evocative image of the wolf in sheep's clothing. Then Dr. Craig Evans will join us and we'll talk about a reported discovery of a burial box that bears the inscription Jesus. He will join us to talk about the discovery and what it does and doesn't mean. Holly Shearer is a regular guest. She joins us to talk about a Wyoming judge and her personal beliefs about marriage. She's a pastor's wife and mother of 4 children in Cheyenne, Wyoming, and author of a recent column for The Federalist titled Wyoming Judge Censured for Beliefs About Marriage That Have Nothing to Do with Her Job. Holly, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me today.
Who's Judge Ruth Neely? Tell us about her.
Sure. Ruth Neely is a judge in a very small community in northern Wyoming. She is also a faithful and lifelong LCMS member, in good standing in her LCMS church. And then since 1994, she has served as a municipal court judge. And then since 2001, she has also served as a part-time magistrate. Now, in Wyoming, municipal court judges do not perform weddings. It is not part of their job. It's not something they're authorized to do. As a magistrate, especially as a part-time magistrate, she can perform weddings, but she is under no obligation to. So she has 2 separate but related jobs, one of which does not even solemnize weddings.
So how did her religious beliefs become an issue there in Wyoming?
A reporter from her community actually called her on the phone and asked her if she was excited to be able to start performing same-sex marriages. And she told the reporter kindly that her religious beliefs as a Lutheran would not allow her to do that, but that there was another magistrate in the town who would be able to do so.
Where did it go from there?
From there, it was printed in the paper, and it became an issue that was then turned over to the Ethics Committee for Judges in Wyoming. And again, it's really, really important to note that no couple has applied to be married with Judge Neely and been turned down, and that the Ethics Committee, which found her in violation, actually was not over her as a magistrate. They were over her as a judge. So they were censuring her for an act performed as a magistrate while it was her judgeship that gave them authority over it. It's kind of a confusing case with the two positions.
Okay, so let me get this straight, kind of clear up some of the confusion. She essentially has two jobs, one as a judge and the other as a magistrate.
Mm-hmm.
As a judge, she is not authorized to perform any or solemnize any kind of marriages. As a magistrate, she is. She was called and asked by a reporter, are you excited about being able to solemnize same-sex weddings? She said, I couldn't do that in good conscience. That got printed, somehow made it back to the Ethics Committee of the Wyoming Supreme Court, who oversees her job as a judge, by which she performs no weddings, period.
Correct.
What did they rule?
They ruled against her. They found her in violation of three of the four ethical things she was up against. And it was a really divided decision. It was 3-2. So there was a heavy dissent in this case.
Now, did they say anything about her being able to perform or that she must perform a same-sex wedding, even though under their jurisdiction, she would never be asked to perform it as a judge?
Yes, they told her that if she is going to be continuing as a part-time magistrate in Wyoming, that she would either have to start performing all weddings that come before her, which is a requirement that no other magistrate in the state would then have, or that she would be able to perform no more weddings at all. So either she loses her right to turn down performing weddings for any reason, or she has to stop doing them completely.
And again, the Wyoming Supreme Court Ethics Committee has no jurisdiction over her job as a magistrate.
Yeah, this has nothing to do with her job as a judge. So them overseeing her as a judge, this is not an issue of her conduct as a judge. As a judge in this municipality, she oversees traffic violations and animal complaints and all of those kind of things that you would expect to see in a small rural community. She's not marrying people in this position, and so this has nothing to do with her judicial judgment.
How do you respond to the court majority's assertion? Again, it's a very narrow majority, but how do you respond to the majority's assertion that Judge Neely's religious views were not the issue?
I think it is impossible for them to really hold that position. They said that there is no religious test on judges because, again, this is not about a couple who came to her and was refused. This is about her expressing a personal belief that at no time has even inconvenienced any couple in this community. This is her belief, and it has not blocked anyone from any sort of service.
So she's been censured not for anything she's done or not done, but for simply speaking to a reporter and saying what she wouldn't do, not what she hasn't done.
Yeah, absolutely. Which then I think needs to make all of us a little concerned about, are we allowed to have opinions anymore? Is it our thoughts that matter, or is it our actions? Well, in this case, it wasn't any action she ever took. It was merely her thoughts.
What do you make about that claim you just mentioned that the Ethics Committee said they aren't imposing a religious test on judges?
Well, I think it's really a silly claim because it's going to make it impossible for anyone here in Wyoming, at least until this decision reaches out more broadly, but to really be a judge if they hold traditional views on marriage and family. If you know that you're going to be compelled to either stop performing things completely or to perform things you don't believe in, how can you in good conscience stay in your position?
What can you tell us about the 2-vote dissent on the Ethics Committee's decision?
Yeah. They really point toward the fact that everybody in her community who has come before her in court has always found her very fair, very impartial. She has served on a steering committee in the past of the Sublette County Treatment Court, which is the county she's in. And the coordinator of that agency is a woman named Catherine Anderson, and she has known Judge Neely since 2006. It is really fascinating to note her position in this dissenting opinion, because Ms. Anderson is married to her same-sex partner, Ms. Stevens. So somebody that she has served with in an official capacity who is currently married to her same-sex partner spoke in favor of Judge Neely. She is totally aware of Judge Neely's views on same-sex marriage, and yet her words about her were that she is conscientious, fair, and an impartial person. So here is a gay person in her community who interacts with her you know, in a very official legal capacity. And she also said that she has no doubt that Judge Nelly will continue to treat all individuals respectfully and fairly inside and outside of her courtroom, regardless of their sexual orientation. Accordingly, I believe it would be obscene and offensive to discipline Judge Nelly for her statement about her religious beliefs regarding marriage. So again, no couples have been refused to have a wedding. This very small community had a very prominent gay figure come out and speak in support of Judge Nelly that, you know, listen, she believes this, but she's still a very fair person. She does her job as a judge excellently, and she was still censured. This is really troubling.
What broader questions does the Judge Nelly situation raise for you, Holly?
You know, how is this going to be applied? The problem with legal decisions is never that a decision in Wyoming doesn't stay in Wyoming, right? A decision in Wyoming is going to affect you across the country. That's how reciprocity works. So how is this going to affect people in positions besides legal positions? What about people who work for the government, but they're not judges? They work for the military as a military chaplain. Are you allowed to express as a military chaplain that you would not perform a gay wedding? What about, you know, people who work for governmental jobs in a non-solemnizing capacity, just as an office clerk? Are they allowed to have opinions? Will this then start applying to teachers, to police officers, to firefighters, to... If you start thinking about that, the implications of this are so broad that it's really kind of frightening when you think about what kind of jobs can Christians actually have where they're not going to be asked to compromise their beliefs.
You're a Wyoming resident. How would you gauge the reaction to this ruling against Judge Nelly?
The reaction has been pretty disappointed. I mean, Wyoming considers itself a pretty conservative and yet progressive state. I mean, they were the first state to have women's suffrage, for example. So it's not regressive here by any means. But this really has met with some widespread disappointment because, again, this is a respected member of a very tiny community. I mean, Wyoming in general is very sparsely populated. This is someone that so many people know and trust and interact with, and this censoring really damages her and her reputation, especially since when they found against her, they added in that, you know, while they found she was in violation of judicial ethics, it wasn't severe enough to remove her from the bench. So it was bad enough for them to slap her on the hand and publicly embarrass her, but not actually wrongful enough to remove her from acting.
You write, Americans have to examine what careers are open to those with religious beliefs and what aren't. What do you mean by that, Holly?
What kind of jobs are there available to people with traditional values? I mean, I kind of talked about it before, but can you be a police officer and not want to defend an abortion clinic? Well, you know, that's kind of a life or death issue, and the court has actually found that you are not able to do that. As a firefighter, are you obligated to put out every fire that comes your way? Well, the court is kind of finding that, yeah, you are. And so we need to start looking at that these decisions really have lasting effects for all of us, no matter what our profession is, and how we're going to deal with that as a church.
Holly Shear is a pastor's wife and mother of four children in Cheyenne, Wyoming. She's author of a recent column for The Federalist titled, Wyoming Judge Censured Four Beliefs About Marriage That Have Nothing to Do with Her Job. You can read it under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Holly, thank you.
Thank you.
On the other side of the break, Dr. Ken Sherb joins us. It'll be part 57 of our series on Martin Luther and the Reformation, Luther's treatment of the Sermon on the Mount. Just one verse, Jesus warning against false prophets in Matthew 7:15. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Grace Lutheran, Henderson, Nevada. Faith Lutheran, Orange City, Iowa. Bethany Lutheran, Fairview Heights, Illinois. Bethlehem Lutheran, North Zulch, Texas. Risen Christ Lutheran, Arvada, Colorado. Trinity Lutheran and Grace Lutheran, Wichita, Kansas. Emmanuel Lutheran, Perryville, Missouri. Risen Savior Lutheran, Basor, Kansas. St. John Lutheran, Champaign, Illinois. Trinity Lutheran, Auburn, Nebraska. Holy Trinity Lutheran, Columbia, South Carolina, Grace Lutheran, Elgin, Texas, Gethsemane Lutheran, Marion, Ohio, and St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes a congregational sponsor, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.
We're supported by listeners like you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Dr. Anthony Eslin will be speaking on the topic of imagination and education at the second annual Wittenberg Academy Family Retreat, which will be held at Camp Okoboji in Milford, Iowa on April 27th through the 29th, 2017. Join us and be immersed in God's Word, thoughtful discussions, and family fun. For more information or to register, visit www.wittenbergacademy.org and click on the registration tab.
Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Doxology.us. Doxology.us.